Welcome to the weekly sermon podcast for Resurrection Lutheran Church in Lebanon, Ohio. Each week, the sermon and the text it is based upon will be uploaded for your spiritual edification. You can also watch our entire worship service online through our website or Facebook page. The sermon for August 27th, 2023 is based on Exodus chapter 1, verse 8 through chapter 2, verse 10. The preacher is Pastor Corey Wagenfield, and the sermon title is A Subversive Faith.
A reading from Exodus chapter 1. Now a new king arose over Egypt who did not know Joseph. He said to his people, "Look, the Israelite people are more numerous and more powerful than we. Come, let us deal shrewdly with them, or they will increase and in the event of war, join our enemies and fight against us and escape from the land." Therefore, they set taskmasters over them to oppress them with forced labor. They built supply cities, Pithom, Ramesses, for Pharaoh. But the more they were oppressed, the more they multiplied and spread, so that the Egyptians came to dread the Israelites. The Egyptians became ruthless in imposing tasks on the Israelites and made their lives bitter with hard service in mortar and brick and in every kind of field labor. They were ruthless in all the tasks that they imposed on them. The king of Egypt said to the Hebrew midwives, one of whom was named Shifra and the other Puah, "When you act as midwives to the Hebrew women and see them on the birth stool, if it is a boy, kill him. But if it is a girl, she shall live." But the midwives feared God. They did not do as the king of Egypt commanded them, but they let the boys live. So the king of Egypt summoned the midwives and said to them, "Why have you done this and allowed the boys to live?" The midwives said to Pharaoh, "Because the Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women, for they are vigorous and give birth before the midwife comes to them." So God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and became very strong. And because the midwives feared God, he gave them families. Then Pharaoh commanded all his people, "Every boy that is born to the Hebrews you shall throw into the Nile, but you shall let every girl live." Now a man from the house of Levi went and married a Levite woman. The woman conceived and bore a son. And when she saw that he was a fine baby, she hid him 3 months. When she could hide him no longer, she got a papyrus basket for him and plastered it with bitumen and pitch. She put the child in it and placed it among the reeds on the bank of the river. His sister stood at a distance to see what would happen to him. The daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river while her attendants walked beside the river. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her maid to bring it. When she opened it, she saw the child. He was crying and she took pity on him. "This must be one of the Hebrews' children," she said. Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and get you a nurse from the Hebrew women to nurse the child for you?" Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Yes." So the girl went and called the child's mother. Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this child and nurse it for me, and I will give you your wages." So the woman took the child and nursed it. When the child grew up, she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and she took him as her son. She named him Moses because, she said, "I threw him out of the water." Word of God, word of life.
Grace and peace to you from Jesus Christ, the Son of Man and the Son of God. Amen. I'm going to go out on a limb today for my sermon, and we're going to talk about something that you may not have thought before. And so it may cause a little bit of uncomfortableness today, so that I ask that you suspend judgment until the end of the sermon and join me on this journey as we look at what it means to be subversive. Have you ever been subversive?
Have you ever done a subversive act? Well, let's make sure that we all know what subversive means. To be subversive is to undermine the power and authority of an established system or institution. So again, I ask, have you ever been subversive? Anyone? Couple people? Have you ever undermined the power and authority of an established system or institution? Have you ever felt called to voice your frustration with an institution, maybe even a religious one? I'm sure this is where some people start to squirm in their seats a little bit. Uh-oh, what does being subversive have to do with faith and church? Isn't being subversive usually associated with political things, like marches or sit-ins, protests, letter writing, nonviolent demonstration? Yes, and it is absolutely something that is relevant to our faith as well. In our story today from Exodus, we hear kind of two stories that are both subversive in nature and subversive in context. In fact, they are subversive to the government of that time, which is a political act. And yes, our Bible is political, even if it makes us uncomfortable to say that. First, we hear the story of two biblical heroines named Shiphrah and Puah. Right off the bat, this story is subversive in context, as the women in society should not have been the ones to stand up to authority and have been the heroines. They are Hebrew midwives who are charged with helping women deliver their babies. But the Pharaoh, the head of the government, tells them that they need to kill all the baby boys who are born to the Hebrew people, because the Hebrew people are growing in number and are a threat to his empire. And these midwives, when they hear this, they remember the fifth commandment, or the sixth commandment, depending on which denomination you are, which is, thou shalt not kill. They are torn between what their governmental leader tells them to do and what God expects of them. And so they decide to do a subversive act. They let the Hebrew women birth their baby boys, and when they're caught, the midwives lie to Pharaoh and tell them that the women's hips are so prime for birthing that the babies are born and whisked away before they can ever make it to the house. In their lie to Pharaoh, they are saying, we would have killed the babies, but we just didn't make it in time. In reality, what they are doing, what they believe is right in the eyes of God, which supersedes what Pharaoh wants them to do. Well, now Pharaoh's mad. The babies are being born quickly, or so he thinks, so he demands that his soldiers go through the land and throw every baby boy into the river to drown. Moses' mother doesn't want her baby boy to drown, so she tries her own subversive tactic. She kind of follows the rules of Pharaoh. She does cast her child into the river, but it just so happens that she casts him in a waterproof basket, right at the place where Pharaoh's daughter comes out to bathe. And when Pharaoh's daughter sees the baby, she wants to take it for her own. But she needs a Hebrew woman to come nurse the child. And who happens to be nearby? Oh yeah, Moses' sister and mom. So she subverts Pharaoh's command and is allowed to nurse and raise her son before she eventually hands him over to Pharaoh's household to be raised. And when speaking of religious subversive behavior, I would be remiss in a Lutheran church if I didn't mention Martin Luther and his nailing of the 95 Theses to the Wittenberg Castle Church door. Luther had issues with some of the ways the Roman Catholic Church was conducting itself, and in order to get himself heard, he began posting his arguments around town. A subversive act that doesn't harm anyone else, but got him excommunicated kicked out of the church, and almost cost him his life. At times, we may all be called to share our frustration with systems that we must participate in, but are counter to what Jesus calls us to do or how Jesus calls us to act. Often when a preacher speaks about controversial subjects, it isn't because they're being political per se. It's because it goes against what they believe God wants for humanity. The same can be said for the people that are sitting on our right and our left in the pews. We may all have things we are passionate about in the realm of culture or politics, but that doesn't mean that our faith shouldn't have a word to say in the argument. And it doesn't mean that we shouldn't talk about it. Let's take Jesus as an example. Jesus never goes out of his way to explicitly support or decry the Roman political system. But he sure does subvert them in many ways through his silence and through his actions. And Jesus does the same thing in regards to the Jewish hierarchical religious systems that had strayed away from what God had intended for them. Jesus knows that his way of living, which is also God's way of having us live, will often be in conflict with our culture. So where is the good news in all of this? Well, one, God does not choose harm for us. That's a byproduct of our culture's selfish and broken nature. God is always working towards the reign of God, the will of God, the kingdom of heaven come near, to be shown in this lifetime and beyond. And on our own, we are not capable of bringing heaven to earth, but when we are in relationship with God and we are seeking God's will, we are equipped to subvert the chaos in our lives in order to bring about love and peace. We begin to realize that it's not about me, it's about us. God seeks for all of us to be made whole. And God's love is the backing force of those who call out the places in our culture and in our world that seek to divide us. Where is God's love urging you to subversively call out power that is being used to oppose God's will and harm others? We've seen it in the ways of Martin Luther King Jr. in the civil rights movement and in the suffrage movement and in so many other ways. Where is God calling us to be subversive today? My prayer for all of us is that we embrace the subversive nature of Shifra and Pua and Jesus, and that the Holy Spirit will empower us to speak up and speak out about the things that are separating us from God and one another. And I pray that we can all try to express those views and listen to one another's views with the same care, compassion, and grace that Jesus showed to his crucifiers and to us. Amen.
Thank you for tuning in to the Resurrection Lutheran Church Weekly Sermon Podcast. If you would like to know more about our congregation, visit us at rlc-lebanon.org. That's rlc-lebanon.org. Resurrection Lutheran Church is a church of the ELCA, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. We are located in Lebanon, Ohio, and have two Sunday worship services at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our mission is to reach people with the love of Jesus Christ. All people, regardless of age, race, socioeconomic status, gender identity, sexual orientation, or cultural background, are welcome at RLC.